to start off?
Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me up on the shelf? Apparently not. Can you hear me down below?
Yes.
Must be all right. Okay. You're all very welcome this morning. It's good to see you all, especially those of you who are visitors from away. And also we welcome those who will be listening to this at home. Stephen's going to be bringing God's Word a little bit later on as we continue our series Learning from Paul's Words in 1 Corinthians. And as we get to chapter 5 this morning, we shall be reminded, I think, that we are called to live holy lives and not to follow the foolish ways of this world. But before we begin to worship, Stephen has got some things to share with us.
Thank you. Just a couple of thank yous to start with. Can I say thank you very much to everybody who worked very hard for to have a wonderful send-off for Sheila Archer on Friday. There was a small team who put things out and just made the family feel very special, providing a tea afterwards during the service, and everything was done really well. There's a couple of orders of service outside if you'd like to take one away if you didn't get one, and have a word with David Redaway if you would like to see the service, because it was recorded, and for the first time it's what we've done. And the members of the family who weren't able to attend have already expressed thanks to David and the work he's done, in that they were able to partake of the service through the streaming that we've done. Still sort of sorting out the details and how it works really well, but it's there and it's in place, which is great. Thank you also to many of you who have been praying and thinking about what God is calling you to do in the life of the church, and for signing up on some of the sheets that I've put out and so on for the different ministries that are required, different groups and so on. I'll be working on those tomorrow, praying about those, seeing how God is organizing things going forward. One thing I just wanted to encourage you to come back to me on, if you've not already done so. We talked about a discipleship course, which we have, Becoming Like Jesus. And quite a number of you have signed up to say you'd be interested in that. Also talked about discipleship groups for adults. Now, my wife tells me, and it's always good to listen to your wife, that I may have confused people. I've talked for quite a time now about home groups, small groups, being discipleship groups, because it's following Jesus. It's learning to follow Jesus. But having called them discipleship groups on the bit of paper, she reckons, and she's probably right, that a whole lot of people didn't realise that that's small groups or home groups. There's an opportunity to gather together, to feel welcome, to be part of a loving group, to worship together, to read God's word together, and to witness, to make disciples of others. We've already got a couple of hosts, some leaders who are coming forward. If you think, yes, the time is now right, I'd like to be part of a small group that leads during the week to sort of to put into practice what I've been hearing on Sunday, then do speak to me and let me know, because the leaders and the hosts are starting to come together. Also something very exciting, fairly short notice, but there's an obvious slot for this to happen. at the brigade service in 2 weeks' time. And so we thought, well, let's go for it, because God's word says, believe and be baptized. You don't really need to hang around. And I'm pleased to say that Jamie is going to be baptized in 2 weeks' time, which is very exciting. He has given me permission to tell you, which is just as well, because next week we will have the bucket list out. And it's not that type of bucket list. It is literally a bucket list. We need people to sign up to help empty the baptistry. Talk to me afterwards if you don't know why we haven't got a pump that works completely. We have a pump, but it's not complete. Therefore, we need a team. And it's great fun. Getting wet. It's just, what more could you want? So that'll come next week. But quite seriously, if anybody else who's here or is listening to this thinks, yes, I know I need to believe and then be baptized, and I haven't done the second one, and I need to be, then please speak to me. There's plenty of time for us to meet together and prepare for 2 weeks' time if you know God is calling you to be baptized. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen.
As we come to worship, I'd like to read you a few words from 1 Peter chapter 1. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. And you'll probably notice as we go through this time of worship this morning that some of the songs will focus on the holiness of God and holy living. So let's stand and sing if you are able, or remain seated if you prefer, as we sing together the splendor of the King.
Pray.
seated.
Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, we
thank you that we can come without hindrance into your presence this morning. And as you welcome us into this house of prayer, we welcome you into our hearts, Lord. Those of us who are joining into this time of worship, prayer, and listening to your word at home, thank you that we enjoy complete freedom to do so. We praise you, Lord, for the wonders of your creation and for making us part of it. We want to thank you for your bountiful provision for all our needs. Most of all, we thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, to be our Saviour, who, by giving up his own life, has taken our sin upon himself, so that if we have repented, we can be free of sin and reconciled to you. As we seek to follow the Lord Jesus, we are so grateful that your Holy Spirit has been provided for us to be our enabler, our comforter and friend, and that he gives us the understanding we need. In the light of all these blessings, Father, we want to say sorry this morning that we have often taken you for granted and failed to be the people you want us to be. So we confess all the wrong things that have crept into our lives. Please forgive us once more and create pure hearts within us. And so may our worship today be pleasing to you. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to sing three songs now, and as we always say, either stand or sit if you prefer, but these are the sort of songs that I find it difficult to sit down to. There are instruments down here if any children want to pick them up, or any older children want to pick them up. That's all right.
That's you, Joseph.
And we're going to begin with the song King of Kings.
God of heaven, living in me.
That's an opportunity to
dance if you want to.
Excellent.
This next song.
Or not if you don't want to.
Teach me to dance.
The beat of your heart.
Teach me to dance in the beat of your heart. Teach me to move in the power of your spirit. Teach me to walk in the light of your presence. Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart. Teach me to love with your heart of compassion. Teach me to trust in the word of your promise. Teach me to hope in the day of your coming. Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart. You wrote the rhythm of life and created heaven and earth. In you is joy without measure. So like a child in your sight, I dance to see your delight. For I was made for your to hope in the day of your coming. Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart. Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart. Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart. We got the song wrong, but it doesn't matter, does it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Good to see the joy on your faces this morning. It's a privilege to stand here and witness all of you worshipping from the heart. It's wonderful. We're going to sing a quieter song to finish this part of our worship. Purify my heart.
Precious.
Those two things go together, don't they? Wanting to be holy, which will in turn bring us into wanting to obey God's will for us. We're going to take up our morning offering now. Many of us these days give in various ways other than putting it physically into the bag, but if that's what you would like to do this morning, then perhaps the stewards can wait upon us. Heavenly Father, you're such a generous God to us. You bless us day after day in so many ways. And you provide this money which we're holding out here, and we offer you part of that back and pray that it will be used so that other people may come to know about your love and about a Saviour called Jesus. Amen. Now, children, I have a job for you. You're getting used to this by now, aren't you? Stephen did something like this last week. I want you to think about two different things. The first thing is things that you think the Lord Jesus wants you to do. And on the other side of the coin, make a list of the things you think Jesus doesn't want you to do. So I'm going to give you two pieces of this paper, and on one of them you can do the things that Jesus would like you to do, and you could do that in writing or in pictures or both if you want to. And then at the end of the service we'll have a look how you've got on. Okay? Does that make sense? Hope so. Have you got some coloured pencil?
Matthew's a bit young for that.
Now Josie's going to bring us this morning's reading, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 5.
And it should be found on page 1147 in the Bibles. He It is actually reported that there is a sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that even pagans do not tolerate. A man is sleeping with his father's wife, and you are proud. Shouldn't you rather have gone into mourning and have put out your fellowship, the man who has been doing this? For my part, even though I am not physically present, I am with you in spirit, as one who is present with you in this way. I have already passed judgment in the name of our Lord Jesus on the one who has been doing this. So when you are assembled, and I am in spirit, and the power of the Lord Jesus is present, hand this man over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that his spirit may be saved on the day of the Lord. Your boasting is not good. Don't you know that a little yeast leavens the whole batch of dough? Get rid of the old yeast, so that you may be a new unleavened batch, as you really are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the festival, not with the old bread leavened, with the malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. Not all the meaning the people of this world who are immoral, or the greedy and swindlers, or idolaters. In that case, you would have to leave this world. But I am writing to you that you must not associate with anyone who claims to be a brother or sister, but is sexually immoral or greedy, an idolater or slanderer, a drunkard or swindler. Do not even eat with such people. What business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside? God will judge those outside. Expel the wicked person from among you. And may God add his blessing to that reading from his word.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for Stephen. We thank you for his preparation for this morning and for his love of your word. And we pray just now you'll anoint his lips and fill him with your Holy Spirit, so that what we hear is what you really want us to understand this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Yesterday, I was asked to preach at Anne's and Mike's wedding. And I said to the people who were assembled for the wedding that fools rush in where angels fear to tread. And I've often been accused of doing that, and I know myself that that's often the case. And it felt the same yesterday, having selected a passage for the wedding, which started off, or would have done if I'd let it go the way it was due to go, wives submit to your husbands. That was the first line. That would go really down well with Anne, I know, to lead off. She knew it was coming. I'd given her the reading, and she looked it up, or one of her family members had looked it up, and thought, God, that'll be interesting. So I feel a bit like that today. Some fool suggested that God wanted us to look at the book of 1 Corinthians. I plead guilty. And this is a very difficult part of this letter. But it's here. It's what God wants us to hear this morning and to reflect upon. And if I express anything in an unhelpful way, I pray that God will just take that away, that we would hear what he has to say. David Burrows started off our exploration of this letter, and he introduced us to Corinth, what the city was, a wealthy, multicultural Roman city, but was also a byword for immorality. It had a reputation for sinfulness. And so it really is something for Paul to say that he's heard a report that there is sexual immorality among the church that is of a kind that does not occur even amongst the pagans. This is a big thing to say. And we might think, how can that be possible? Paul has said that this church has been enriched in every way and does not lack any spiritual gift. This is a church that they thought they really were something. And they were, but not in a good way. Not all the time. Paul tells us that it is reported that a man has his father's wife, and you are proud of it. It was the pride, it was the boasting that he was really focusing on. And although we'll be looking at what was going on, that's the particular thing that Paul is concerned about. It's the boasting of this church, their pride. I wonder how that was expressed. We don't know, really. But I wonder if they said, look how tolerant we are. Look how inclusive we are. Look how non-judgmental we are. Now, before we fall into the same trap and be proud ourselves, thinking how bad they were and how good we are in the 21st century, we need to face the truth. Today's church is doing exactly the same thing. Even conversations over in the reception yesterday with Christians from other churches talking about what is going on. Sexual immorality is rife in the church. And the church, doesn't matter whether it's a small part or a big part, it's our church, because there's only one church, is boasting about this tolerance, inclusivity, non-judgmentalism in the same way that the Corinthians were, using the same words as I've just been using. In gatherings of church ministers, including Baptist ministers, at the SWBA, the Southwest Baptist Association Theology Day, in things that are written, blogs on the internet, the word inclusive is now used as a code word, a summary word, for churches who affirm same-sex relationships and same-sex marriage in particular, and give full membership rights to those within them. Churches that are like ours, that have taken the opposite view, are labelled as being non-inclusive, intolerant, and judgmental. I want to say really loudly and clearly, we are an inclusive church, are we not? Amen. Is everybody welcome here?
Yes.
We need to work hard at making everybody feel welcome, but we're trying, aren't we? Everybody is welcome. As Sheila said last week, and she often says, whosoever will may come. All are welcome to come to Jesus and come to his church family. Jesus receives everybody with open arms, and we do the same. Jesus welcomes everybody to believe in him and become a child of God, no matter what they've done in the past. All are welcome to hear the gospel, to receive the love of Jesus. But God does say, be holy because I am holy. Our Great Commission is twofold in the sense of how you work it out. Jesus said, go and make disciples. And there are two parts to that. One, we're going to do in 2 weeks' time, baptizing people in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. What's the second one? This is the Great Commission. This is the one thing we ought to know. It is, go out, make disciples of all nations, baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Maybe not being critical of you, because we've all got dim brains, but is that the problem? Has the church thought, yeah, we can do baptizing, but it's teaching to obey? Right there at the very beginning. That's what Jesus' Great Commission was. You baptize and then you teach to obey. So Jamie, we've been working with, we better make sure Jamie understands what baptism is, as we do with everybody. But it's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. The discipleship course is then, okay, I'm learning now to obey Jesus. And we as a church have to be full of not baptized people, but full of baptized people who are seeking by the power of the Holy Spirit to be obedient people. And I wonder if that's the problem. That we've got the first one, but we've soft-pedaled the second one. And I'm afraid you ain't going to get that with me. And although it's hard, and I'd rather be all happy, clappy, and go for the baptism bit, I would be denying God's word if I didn't say we've got to obey God. So that's why we're reading this passage. And it gets harder as we go through. God has commanded us not to conform to the pattern of this world. Do not let the world squeeze you into its mould. But one local minister boasts of his long-standing central role in blessing the Pride March through his town. It's always struck me as rather interesting that pride is called pride. Because what is the worst offence to God? Pride. What resulted in the Satan, Lucifer, being thrown out of heaven? Pride. What was it that caused Eve and Adam to eat the fruit? I want to be like God, knowing good and evil. Pride. So to have a march and a movement called pride does what it says on the tin. Our job, by the way, is not to bash anybody, and I'm going to keep saying through this, but we do need to hold out God's word and know what he says. But this, as I say, the reason I'm critical is this is a Baptist minister choosing to do this. And my words today are aimed at the church, not the world, as we've just heard in the reading. Quite simply, we have ignored or twisted God's word, or we have allowed those who do so to speak the loudest, while we have been silent, or confused, or divided. So we need to learn. And that's why we're looking at this passage, where God has brought this to us. And we look at Paul's approach. It would have been great to meet Paul in person, wouldn't it? He'd be a very interesting character. I have already passed judgment on him. You read it. I've already passed judgment on him. That can't be right. We are supposed not to judge. Didn't Jesus tell us not to judge? And that's where our English language needs a bit of help. Jesus did tell us not to judge. But what he was talking about at the time was condemning people, writing people off, elevating ourselves above others and saying, I'm right, you're wrong. I'm good, you're bad. I'm right with God, you ain't right with God. That's the type of judging that Jesus says, don't you dare do that, because the measure you use will be the measure used against you. But Paul is judging this man. What is his motivation? Love. Love. He loves this man that has committed a sexual immorality. has he had his father's wife? Not his mother, his father's wife. He's concerned for him, and he wants his spirit to be saved on the day of the Lord. When Jesus comes back, he wants this man in heaven, not afraid of Jesus' return, right with God. That's what he wants. He loves this man. But decisions have consequences, and this man needs to realize that what he has done is wrong. Paul's motivation of love is love for God, firstly, love for this man, and then love for the church. He's very concerned for the church. He wants them to be holy and pure. The purity and holiness of the church, which is what Jesus spends his time doing, washing and cleansing the church, so it's pure and holy, a spotless bride. Paul is concerned that the purity and holiness of the church and the witness of the church is in jeopardy, is in danger of being lost. Why? Because a little yeast works its way through the whole batch of dough. Who's a baker here? You're a baker. There's only a couple of bakers here, so we need a bit of help with this, don't we? If bread is going to rise, it needs yeast. And the yeast needs time to get through the whole batch of dough. And I think yeast is in the atmosphere. Yeast is in all sorts of places, but you can actually put yeast in everything else. But yeast, once it's there, it will work through the whole batch, so the whole batch rises. Paul's using this to explain that if you allow sexual immorality or any other of the type of sinful nature he describes in this reading to continue in the church without being picked up, without being dealt with, without being judged, without appropriate discipline, it will eventually end up with the whole church being immoral and under God's judgment. That's why Paul is so concerned about this. He wants the church in Corinth to thrive, to bear much fruit. But it's in great danger. So then Paul uses another illustration, which we need a bit of help with as well. The Passover festival. The annual Passover festival starts with the offering of a lamb, the killing of a lamb, the sacrifice of a lamb. As a reminder that hundreds of years, thousands of years before, when the Israelites were in Egypt and the angel of the Lord was coming to kill all the firstborn sons of everyone who lived in the land, they were told, sacrifice a lamb, put the blood on the doorposts, on the lintels of your doors, and death will not come on your house. And that's what they did. And after the Passover lamb was eaten, to remember that event, they were told, do it every year to remember what happened. After they've eaten the Passover lamb, there follows the feast of unleavened bread, eating bread without yeast. You did that for a week. Now, why do you eat bread without yeast? Because they didn't have time for it to rise. They had to get out of Egypt really quickly. So they made the dough and they couldn't wait for it to rise and bake it the normal way. They had to make it, zap it quickly, almost like putting something in the microwave rather than the oven. They had to get going. And so what Paul is saying is that Jesus is the Passover lamb. He has been sacrificed to save you, Corinthian church, from death. And now, church, you must keep the feast of unleavened bread. Not eating bread with the old yeast of malice or wickedness, but the bread without yeast, without any of that evil stuff. The bread of sincerity and truth. So that means for us today, right here and now, we know Jesus has died for us. He has saved us. If we turn to him, ask for forgiveness, he's forgiven us. The blood of Christ was put on the cross. poured out on the cross. So we are forgiven. But now we have to live following him. We need to live perpetually, celebrating the feast of unleavened bread. Living sincere and truthful lives, not full of malice and wickedness. So, what does that look like? This is now Paul telling them, this is how you have to deal with this. He's already told them in a previous letter that the members of the church should not associate with sexually immoral people. But now he says, look, don't associate with anyone who calls himself a brother or a sister, but is living a sexual, immoral life. Or are greedy, a slanderer, a drunkard, a swindler, or worshipping other gods. So that was somebody who calls herself a Christian, but they are living a whole life of sin. Not just getting things wrong, because we all get things wrong, but their whole move of their life, the whole orientation of their life, is in a sinful way. With such a man, do not even eat. And this is really hard words. We're not used to this. Don't eat with such a man, such a woman. If we were, as a church, to stand by and watch those who call themselves Christians, our brothers and sisters in Christ, sinning in this type of way, and do nothing, we would no longer be a pure church bringing glory to God. And so we are told not to associate with such people, not even to eat with them. Now, I'm not aware at the moment we would all be aware of a member of the church who is openly living a completely sinful life in the completely wrong direction, and we're all ignoring it. I'm not aware of that. But we need to hear what God is saying. It sounds very judgmental, and in one way, it is. It's meant to be. But it's not judging the world. Paul makes it very clear he's talking about the church and not the community. This is talking about judging within the church, not outside of the community. I'll say it twice because people will hear something different from today's service. I guarantee it. It's happened before, it will happen today. People will go out here saying, Stephen was really judgmental on people. There's all sorts of people, and they're talking about the world. That is not what Paul is talking about. It's not what I'm talking about. This is the church. Paul has said that his command not to associate with sexually immoral people is not at all meaning the people of this world who are immoral or the greedy and swindlers or idolaters. In that case, you have to leave the world. Paul is not wanting us to suddenly disappear into a holy huddle in the desert, as many Christians have done. That is not what he's saying. Jesus was well known for eating with who? Who do we hear more about his meals with sinners than we do with saints? Is that not true? If you go through the gospel, you look and see how many. Matthew's party. There's a church called Matthew's Party. What a great name for a church. If you want to know, look through Matthew's gospel and you'll see the one, the party, with all the scum of the earth present at Matthew's house. What a church name, Matthew's Party. Oh, that's great. We could be called Matthew's Party. That'd be good, wouldn't it? Jesus was well known for eating with tax collectors and sinners. In fact, the religious leaders, time and time again, told him off. What do you think you're doing? So we do what Jesus did. We eat with everyone. To the pure, all things are pure. We go out and about. We go to all sorts of things. You might choose the right time to leave before a celebration gets too drunken. You know, you go from the beginning. And then I used to do that with our works dues. I said to Leslie, yeah, they're up in London, people getting pasted. I said I would go as far as, I think, yeah, now is the time to leave. Enough time to be salt and light, bless them, and then time to go. Paul says, what business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside? God will judge those outside. Expel the wicked man from among you. That goes back to Deuteronomy. That goes back to God's holy people. Expelling the wicked man from among them. We judge those inside the church. God judges those outside the church. It's really simple, but we've got it wrong. The New Bible Commentary, which is a very handy book, a one-volume commentary on the Bible, which is very useful to hear what someone else thinks about these passages, gave me this wonderful quote. The ease with which the present-day church often passes judgment on the outside community is at times matched by its reluctance to take action to remedy the ethical conduct of its own members. We have reversed Paul's order of things. All the denominations, if you think about all the different churches, you can see they have hidden child abuse. They haven't judged themselves. They kept it quiet and judged the world. And that's why we've lost so much respect and honour for the church. We have a lot of trust regaining to do. We judge those inside the church and God judges outside. So we come to church discipline. This is a really good topic for this morning. I hope you're really enjoying this. What Paul is talking about is not personal judgment. It's not about me having a go at people I don't like. Me having a go at people I don't agree with. Me having a go at people whose behaviour offends me or doesn't come up to my personal standards. This is about the church exercising its God-given responsibility of church discipline to look after Jesus' body. It is an unpopular idea. I don't know when he last heard a sermon on church discipline. Paul gives detailed instructions. When you are assembled in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I am with you in spirit, and the power of the Lord Jesus is present, hand this man over to Satan, so that his sinful nature may be destroyed and his spirit saved on the day of the Lord. This is current. This is what happens now. In our previous church, a married female church member planned to live with another man. I've been told it by a few people, but I waited till I heard from herself that this is what she intended. And I warned her that this would have huge implications for her and also her membership of the church. But she went ahead regardless. Neither she nor several other church members could see that there was anything wrong in a church member committing adultery. This is true. This is what happened. How could the church uphold biblical truth if its members do not live by it? We have to eat the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. We would be rightly called hypocrites. This raises the question as to what church membership is all about. Some of those who are new to the church here may be asking yourselves, why do we have membership? Isn't it enough just to be a Christian, coming along and worshipping? For a Baptist church, the body that is responsible for the gospel that is preached, the truth that is taught, is not ultimately the pastor or the deacons. It's the church members. And so if the church members compromise on God's word without us doing anything about it, the church will fall. Together, we discern what the Lord's will is. and we help each other to obey his word. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. If you feel this is where God is calling you to be in this church, do come to me and have a chat about church membership. We've got some information and so on. It's a privilege and it's a responsibility. Not something to be afraid of, but it is a holy calling. So, let's watch and pray. We need to be alert to what is going on in these days. We need to exercise church discipline in the way that Jesus taught us. Homework, you look at Matthew 18. If a brother offends you, sins against you, have a chat with him on his own. Try and sort it out. If he won't listen, take the elders. If he won't listen to the elders, take it to the church. If he won't listen to the church, regard him as an unbeliever. Which you mean is you love his socks off. But he's no longer part of the church. And that's what we see happening here in Corinth. We need to do it. But we also need to be alert to the wider things that are happening in the wider church across the bay and beyond. Here, someone has come and spoken recently, and we're told that their church from the country they come from is well known for proclaiming a prosperity gospel. If you become a Christian, God will make you wealthy in material human terms, which is a lie. But it's there, and it's right here in the bay. There's another church that's set up that says all other denominations apart from ours are false. That's here. We have a major decision coming up in the Baptist Union in March about how we're going to deal with the rule change and so on. We need to be alert and prayerful, watch and pray. We are not to pick fights with people. But we must stand our ground on God's holy word. Speak in the truth in love. We do need to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to show us how to be holy and true. If we do so, we will shine like stars in this crooked and perverse generation as we hold out the word of life. And that's the sign on the front of our church building, holding out the word of life. If we compromise on God's word, we won't be shining. We'll be part of the darkness. We may not even be a church in God's eyes. This is not what Jesus wants. He's the one who's building the church, and he wants us to obey him and be all that he calls us to be. I know this is a difficult word, and I just want to finish with a glorious passage from Peter. And it echoes what we've already heard at the beginning of our service. And he's talking to you. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the wonders of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your souls. Live such good lives among the pagans that they may see your good works and glorify God on the day he visits us. Are you going to pray or do you want me to pray? I'll pray. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your grace. That means we can all be forgiven and free. Forgive us, Lord, as a church, your whole church, your bride. Where we have not eaten the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, but we have allowed the yeast of malice and wickedness to pollute, to corrupt, to distort your body. Lord, we are sorry. We have all played a part in this. Lord, help us humbly, gracefully, to hold to your word and to proclaim your word, to live out your word in sincerity and truth, that others may see how good you are and want to be holy as you are holy. Amen.
Let's just take a moment or two to reflect upon that word. Please forgive us if we have gone astray, Lord, and keep us on the narrow path that leads to life. Amen.
Amen.
Let's sing together the song, Holy, Holy. Intercessory prayer, and in view of my eye being on the clock, I'd like us to just restrict this to the people that are not among us today because they are sick or not able to be here. You may know more people than I do in this situation, But those of you who are regular will recognise that we're missing some people this morning. David and Rowena are not here because Rowena is poorly. Pam Bithell is not here because she's feeling poorly this morning. Renee Hutchins, our dear friend, who's 100 years old, has had to go on to palliative care and is at home, not well at all. And Stephen, are there others that...
Mark and Jackie, I'm not sure.
Oh, Mark and Jackie. Jackie is unwell, I think. They've not been able to come today. So please, would one or two of you offer prayers of intercession for those folk or any other folk that you're concerned about. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have provided this means by which we can talk to you and express our heart's desires. And we know you are a God who both hears our prayers and answers them, because we have seen many times when that has been the case. Hear us now as we lift before you these friends for whom we're concerned. Amen.
Father, I would lift up Pam Bithell to you today. We had a phone call from her this morning saying she wasn't well enough to come today. Be with her, help her through these troubles that she has with her health, and bless her just now, as she'll no doubt be thinking about us. And also I want to bring Renee Hutchins before you. We went to see her this week. She's at home, but waiting for the Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you will take her fairly soon to be with you, so that she is she'll be ridden of the discomfort that she's feeling, and she knows where she's going. Bless her just now, and take her to be with you in your time. Amen.
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 What do we do with that? starting in the right moment. And Lord, I thank you for your love.
Thank you.
I thank you for your everlasting love. And I thank you for listening to me. Listen to me, my sinful father, my children, your grandchildren, my great grandchildren. Oh Lord, I have so many good things.
Thank you.
But most of all, I thank you for you.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, can I just bring a prayer for Paul, the young lad and the young chap that have called in for a couple of Sundays here recently that has gone missing in the bay since the 4th of February.
Bless him.
Lord, we don't know much about him, but
bless him.
I think being part of this fellowship for a couple of Sundays, it's important that we remember him and we think of him and pray that things will turn out right and that he will be found and his life can be sorted out.
Thank you.
You know what's going on there, Lord, as well. You know more than anything.
Thank
so
you.
Just bring his name to you today.
Amen.
Amen. So, Lord, we lift these prayers up to you together with the unspoken prayers of our hearts. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Debbie, where are you? Would you like to fetch this handheld mic? And perhaps you could go to the back and find out what the children there have been up to.
And Lexi in the front.
Yeah.
Right, let's see what seven have done. Oh, wow.
You've got something.
My goodness, this is wonderful. So Noah has done some beautiful things. Do you want to tell me one thing about your picture? We've got a cross, haven't we? What else have we got? These are all the good things about all the things that Jesus wants us to do, aren't they? And he wants us to have a beautiful world, lots of food, just amazing. And it's so colourful. It's just the vibrance of being holy with God. Amazing. And let's see Seb. Oh, thank you. So Seb, things we need to do to please Jesus. Spread the gospel. Obey your parents, help others, go to church, learn about God, read the Bible, and be kind. And we've also got the list of the not things we don't do with a big red cross: lie, pride, smoke, mock God, burn the Bible, gossip, steal, blasphemy, saying awful things about Jesus and God, and sin, taking revenge, that's a really good one, and don't judge. I think we need her to be leading one of our discipleship courses. Thank you, you did really well. Lovely. Something for Harry? Oh, Harry. But you used your words for this. This is beautiful. Things to do for Jesus. Drawing, words, listening, and eating my tea. So you can get really strong for Jesus. Wonderful. And not to do, being naughty, and not listening. We need to listen to God, don't we? Fantastic. That's lovely. And what about Lexi? What about Lexi?
You do the things God wants you to do, and I'll do the things God doesn't want you to do.
This is an enormous list. Fantastic. Are you going first?
Things God doesn't want you to do.
Yeah, I'll stand away.
Don't use the words my God wrongly. Don't swear. Don't do drugs.
Don't be nasty to anyone. Don't fight. Don't judge people. Don't put people down. Don't murder. Don't steal from anywhere. Don't be cruel to animals or people and don't kill them. Don't
touch. Oh. Well, find a way of saying
this one.
That's very good. Where have we got to?
Be careful where you put your hand.
Don't hurt people's feelings. Don't laugh at people with disabilities.
Yeah.
And don't be jealous.
Wow.
And I've got a lovely list of things that God wants you to do. Well done, Lexi. Follow him. Love everybody. Go to church. Pray for everyone. Read the Bible. Give people help and others. Tell people about the Holy Spirit. Tell people about the Trinity. Tell people about Girls' Brigade and Boys' Brigade. Look after people. Say sorry to people. Encourage people. Welcome everyone. Follow Jesus and say, oh my gosh, instead of oh my God.
Well,
very, very good.
Thank you, Lexi.
Very good. Well done.
Well, it seems like the children have been attentive this morning. I hope we've been just as attentive to God's word as they have been. Let's sing our final song together, Over All the Earth. Let's stand and sing if we're able. Addressing each other with the words of the grace, but please can I ask you, after we've done that, to remain in your seat, because Stephen's got something very special to say to us. So let's say together, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much for waiting just a moment. I'm so impressed with our children. We're very grateful for those who go out with the children, but so much of the time they're here with us here. And Zeb, Noah, Harry, and Lexi, it brings joy, I can tell you, to our hearts to hear. And they're not just words, they come from your heart, we know that. That's such a blessing. And that brings us to joy. Joy doesn't want to fuss, so that's why I've left Joy sitting down there. I have used the same joke for the last 5 years, which I will still do so, because I'll find some reason. I would go to Joy's house to prepare for a Sunday like tonight, and I would say to everybody, I'm going to go and worship with Joy. And I have always worshipped with Joy. But the time comes, and this is a lesson for all of us. Mark has done this, giving us a year's notice of completing his ministry as church secretary. There comes a time for when our ministry is completed. And Joy and I, we've chatted together, prayed together. And today was Joy's last time of leading us in worship on a Sunday for our Sunday services. Joy's involved in other ways of playing and blessing people and so on, which will continue. But this is her last Sunday. And I haven't asked her how many years. I just know it's a long time. It is a long time that Joy's been doing this. And I have never met anybody more humble, more devoted to the Lord, more concerned to offer what she has. And we offer what we have, which is not perfect, but is a delight to the Lord. And so, Joy, we want to say a great big thank you. Keep worshipping with Joy. Keep blessing us. And we've got some flowers for you. Could you like just to stand where you are? And could we have a round of applause for our lovely family? George, just come this way, a bit away from that speaker, if I may. It's not an excuse to get you in the front, honestly. But come this way a bit. Come this way a bit. We're getting a bit of feedback. So, David, would you grab Joy on the other side? And we're just going to pray for you. Lord, we thank you that you give us pictures of humble service. And we've got one standing right here. Joy doesn't want any fuss. But we know the angels are making a fuss. And so we join with them in saying thank you to Joy for her loving heart, which continues to express devotion to you and will do in other ways in the days ahead. We pray you bless her with rest. Bless her with her family, particularly she goes out and about all over the place, which is wonderful. And I pray that we all would learn from her example. Thank you for this day, and which is the climax and the celebration of so many years of leading church services. Amen. You can make a fuss of her privately afterwards.